This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation. You're getting out of work. Good news. If you're anywhere close to Dallas, we have 2 hours left of our Balcones Distilling open house here at 75 and Fitzhugh. Come on by 4131 North Central Expressway. It's right by the McDonald's. And you head on in here. We have distilling tastings you can participate in, some food, and prizes. Winning time every hour. We've given away tickets. We've given away a big green egg. We're giving away distilling prize packs and so much more. We talk every day at this time about the top stories that have been developing in our time on the air. And it is time now for predictions as we look forward to Sunday's game at 3:25. Pregame kicking off at 12:30 with Ari Temkin and Brian Broaddus. And I'm also going to give you my top five reasons that I can't pick a Cowboys victory as much as I'm hoping for it. I did my video today, and you can watch it at 105throughthefan.com. Subscribe to my YouTube if you like. But I did my video today about just the opportunity to build excitement and momentum. And last year at half season, when you were 3-5, you thought, no way they're going to win 7 out of their next 8 and actually win a playoff game. But, you know, if you could get this win against the Rams, I think you can at least start to get confidence back on your side. Maybe you can't do anything about your defensive tackles and your middle linebacker, but they were a problem, you know, last year when you were winning 7-8. So, but at the same time, you know, I have to be realistic. And a team that got blown out by the Bills and Bears, you know, to me, it just doesn't register that you could think. So to me, here's the intrigue. Are the Cowboys going to get a bunch of garbage time points to make it a single score game final? Or will they just get blown out all four quarters? Because those are the only two things I'm deciding between. And I'm just going to go right down the middle and say 31-17 Rams.
Okay. That's a good pick. I want to go to Jeff because as this day's progressed,
you're,
I feel like Jeff
this is a lie. This is not true. I've
Jeff
never
has
been
his
optimistic
cowboy
today.
Hat on and
I do have my cowboy hat on.
He's ready
on.
To ride.
I mean, are you going to be that pessimistic to pick against the Cowboys?
I mean, look at the analytics, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's better on offense, according to the numbers?
Hold on. I forgot who they're playing. They're playing the Rams. The Cowboys, according to the numbers for
who's
the year.
Who's better on defense for the whole year?
The Rams.
Oh, the numbers even say that?
Dang. Yeah, they do. Yeah, I'm going 30-20 Rams.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they beat the Cowboys by double digits. Although you're right, you could have the situation where they kind of lay down at the end and give you a touchdown, and maybe it's 30-24. I'm going 30-20 Rams. This is the week that I stop giving the Cowboys any benefit of the doubt until they prove something, and they haven't done that. So I think it's a bad matchup for them. I think the Rams are really good at misdirection, at moving you side to side, at taking advantage of guys who eat the cheese when you put guys in motion. I think everything about the Rams is everything that's wrong with the Cowboys, and they're going to get beat by double digits.
I have 33-17 Rams. I think it'll be 33-10 late.
You put
in the
100-0 on the website.
I did, yeah.
I was second week in a row.
Yeah, I put 100-0 Bears. I was the closest in picking the score right.
That was not the closest.
It felt like 100-0 when I was watching the game. So 100-0 on the website. If I had to really bet money, I would say 33-17, and I do think the Cowboys get blown out in this game. And I am the opposite of you, Gavin, but Cowboy fans, hear me out. The reason I want the Cowboys to lose to finish this off is I want Jason Garrett out. I know he's not the main problem. The main problem's Jerry Jones. There's nothing we can do about that, Cowboy fans. He's going to be here for, I think, a long time. You know, it's just a matter of how much longer. 5 years, 20 more years, who knows? But I can't get rid of Jerry. That's impossible. But Jason has to go, and Jerry desperately still wants to keep Jason Garrett. And so I don't want them to win out and then win a playoff game and win 4 games in a row, barely lose in the divisional round, and Jerry go, I can't let go of my favorite coach in the history of coaching.
And, hey, even if you think Jason's gone right now, you have to admit it could change if they just had a little bit of success, right? I don't think Jerry needs much of an excuse to make some sort of a compromise with the anti-Jason people in the building. Like, okay, not a 5-year extension, but what about a 2-year extension, you know?
Yeah, because then if he's bad the next year, we can fire
then
him.
Then we can do it. This organization kicks every tough decision down the road.
Yes.
You know, and that's why we find ourselves in this situation. situation.
Pick too.
Yeah, that the pick is so important. I mean, it's the difference between, you know, Taco Charlton and Tyron Smith. You know, if you look at it where all of the premium players are in the top 10 or at worst top 15, and what typically happens in most drafts after about 20, I mean, you're looking at, hey, Leighton Vander Esch, Byron Jones. Hey, Byron Jones is a major success at 27.
Yeah.
But it can turn into a coin flip depending on most of the positions that you're taking. My top five reasons I cannot pick Cowboys. What do you think? If you want to shoot in on the Autoflex Leasing fan text or
someone,
come after.
Someone already did.
Okay.
Yeah, well, they texted in. They said, Gavin, the top five reasons I can't buy a Cowboys playoff run. One, I'm not an effing idiot. Two, okay. I'm not an effing idiot. Three, I'm not, and that goes on for five.
Okay, well,
yeah,
I mean,
his five.
Things change quickly in the NFL. I do believe there's a shot. This isn't going to make my list, but I think there's a shot that something awakens inside a team and they play with the kind of energy and desperation. The problem is, up until this point, very few have realized the opportunity that they're wasting. Very few realize they're not looking at the crystal ball and saying, man, when I'm 35 looking back on my career, I'm going to be like, man, we were idiots for not watching more film or not taking this more serious or thinking that it was going to be all over. Okay, we couldn't flip the switch. And I think right now the reason they've lost their confidence over the last couple of weeks is they allowed their bad habits to put them in a spot where they thought they could flip the switch from. And then when they try to do it against New England or Buffalo and it didn't work, that's when you panic. Like, holy cow, I thought we were going to be able to turn this around. But eventually how you've practiced and prepared all season becomes who you are. And that's happened right now.
And the desperate team theory favors the Rams.
Yeah, they have
to win out. Yeah. They have to win out to give themselves a chance to go to the postseason, whereas the Cowboys lose this game and they go, oh, man, that sucks. Let's go beat the Eagles, though.
I think that game happened that you're talking about, Gavin. I think it happened on Thanksgiving. Yeah. I think they thought after losing to New England and having the bad weather and still having an opportunity late to possibly win that game, they came back and were like probably a little disappointed, but like nobody wins in New England, but we're going to come back and we're going to beat Buffalo. And they got off to a 7-0 start. And then as that first quarter ended and then they got to have halftime, and then they got to the end of the third. I think that's when it all set in.
Yeah.
We're not that great. We can't flip a switch.
And now it's hard to have the enthusiasm to play aggressive when you're in that. So maybe if they do beat the Rams and then beat Philly and Washington and, you know, go into a Seattle game. I'll tell you what, you talk about how bad the record could be. Teams with bad records that make the playoffs as division winners still typically win wild card weekend, even though they're facing, you know, teams better than them. But the Cowboys have been making bad quarterbacks look good all year. Jeff Driscoll, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Mitch Trubisky. There's no reason to believe Mitch Trubisky's not going to light him up for 350. You know?
You mean Goff today?
Goff.
Or Sunday.
Yeah, Goff. You look at what's been going on with the L.A. Rams. He struggled big time early due to pressure. They lost a bunch of offensive linemen. They played horrible. They rebuilt the offensive line, and I'm not saying it's good, but it's protecting him enough. They figured out how to protect him. At the beginning of the year, defensive coordinators had been hunting and preparing for Sean McVay. It took him a month or two to say, okay, man, where are the answers to what the entire league is building off of what New England did to us last year in the Super Bowl? So they have stabilized their ship, and then the Jalen Ramsey trade, you know, really put their defense back in a place where I think it looks every bit as good as Wade Phillips' best cruise there in L.A. the last couple years.
They look really good, especially lately. And another thing they've started doing is moving Jared Goff. Like, they've started to actually roll him out a little bit and not have him be a target that's just standing still back there. So, they're a different team over the last 5 to 7 weeks than they were to start the year. And in most years, you'd be looking at them and being like, oh, yeah, there's a Super Bowl contender. They're 8-5. Like, that's not dead in the water. But in this year's NFC, they're almost dead in the water.
You know, this is where it is great to be a Dallas Cowboy as much as they think pressure is on them. Because I wonder if they play like they did on Thanksgiving or in Chicago, I wonder how much they're going to get booed on Sunday. Because I do think they're going to lose. Look, I picked 33-17. I'm just wondering when the defense gives up another touchdown or when the offense has another 3-and-out for the third time in a row and it's 17-7 going to half. Like, how loud are the boos going to be if they're down by 10 points at halftime?
They were pretty loud in New England for six-time champs on Sunday. So yeah, if you can boo the champs, the Patriots, the GOAT, or whatever it is, the Cowboys definitely deserve that at this point.
Yeah.
Okay, then the final reason I had, I don't know if you saw this on Cowboys Twitter today, but since Week 10, the Cowboys have given up the most big plays. You see that?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. And the Rams, I believe, have the most big plays all year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they haven't had a great offense, but they've still made their big plays.
Huge plays,
and
yeah.
So the Cowboys, bend, don't break. You might want to get that back together because you've been breaking.
Cheetos on serious toast alert, I fear. Okay, elsewhere in the world of sports, how about Babe Laufenberg? He points out here on Twitter, the Cowboys are 16-0 when they have the lead at half over the last 2 years. They are 1-12 when they trail. So beat the traffic, leave at halftime, and listen to Brad, Babe, and Christy.
Oh no! Oh no!
I wonder if you think the Cowboys get the ball first no matter what. Now, do you think that's a now permanent thing for the finish of the year? Since he won the coin flip last week against Chicago, he said, "No, I gotta have the ball because I gotta have the lead." I think Garrett knows that stat.
I hope he learned from it because you got hit with the.
Yeah, Garrett's a fast learner.
You got hit with the double spank. They scored right before half, and then they scored a touchdown to open the next half, and the game was over.
Yeah.
Please defer. Always defer. The opportunity for that moment is better than scoring first.
It's just weird how he has an ability to kind of change his mind on things that we believe he believes.
Well, he doesn't have things he believes. Like, he does. He has a few of them. But look at the Cowboys. I mean, so many times this year they've been reactionary to what sports radio says about them.
Yeah.
And that's determining whether they kick or receive and how often they run on first down. Like, I think Jerry's listening to the radio and then calling Garrett in and being like, hey, is this true that you're not doing right? And Garrett's like,
well,
I don't want to say I'm wrong.
Somebody texted in, boos, really, Mike? Yes, really.
Oh, yeah, they'll get booed
if they
lose. At
this point, come on, Cowboy fans. You can root for them to win. I'm not telling you to root for them to lose, but if they sleepwalk through another game, the only games they haven't sleepwalked through have been the opening game of the year and the Philadelphia game.
Non-booing fan, I respect you. You know, you're operating at a higher level. You're the highest version of yourself, but you're also part of the problem. You know, like, oh, I can't believe you. These guys are trying their hardest. You're booing. Yeah. Man, that's so like uncosmopolitan.
I have one of my guys in spin class who's had season tickets for a long time. He's an older guy, and he says he still goes to the Cowboy games, but he's a bitter Cowboy fan like I am. And he's like, I hate going to the games because you know what they do on that big Jumbotron? They show all the people who are just drunk on the lower level who can't see the game anyways. So Jerry looks at that big screen. He's like, everybody's having a good time. Everybody's great. Go Cowboys. Everybody's so happy. And
they show the field level suites.
Like, yeah, he's like, I wish they'd show me because, you know, because he's like, this isn't fun, you know, but he's a Cowboy guy for life. Had Cowboy season tickets for probably 20 or 30 years or so. And I think the true Cowboy fan is frustrated, but I would say the true Cowboy fan only makes up about 20% of the Cowboy fans at this point in our life.
Man, some of those people down there in the field suites, they can be down 20 in like with 5 minutes to go, and they're just like, woohoo, Cowboy number.
Well, are you ready for the secret on that? They get queued up for that.
Oh, is that
right?
Yeah,
the camera stands there, and they're like, you guys ready? Go! And then they bring the camera.
Okay, up next for the Mavs, after putting on a show last night in Mexico City, they're going to host the Heat tomorrow. Miami, very good. But they're in action tonight. They host the Lakers.
Okay.
So Miami's going to be on the second of a back-to-back.
Sweet.
Jimmy Butler's just awesome, though. And it was a missed opportunity for several teams to get him when he was in the middle of that Minnesota and Philadelphia thing.
When he was being mean to his teammates at practice.
Now that he's back to a spot where he can totally lead the show and control the flow, he's still one of the top two-way players in all the game and very, very efficiently commanding that team to being one of the top four in the East right now.
Okay, well, I'm going to throw this at you. If you could go back to the opening of free agency and the Mavericks did have enough to pretty much offer a max contract, do you think the Mavericks, now that you've seen Jimmy Butler in Miami, would you have offered him the max contract, and do you think it'd be working out in Dallas?
Yeah, I do. I think Luke is young, but he's enough of a dog, and he's so brilliant that you have to respect him. You know, I think Jimmy Butler, one of his biggest problems is respecting guys that weren't good enough or tough enough.
Would he be screaming at Porzingis early in the year and making Porzingis uncomfortable?
Maybe. But as long as you're winning, it's a perfume for a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Hey, you know, I know there would be some challenges.
No, I've thought about that, too.
Yeah.
Like, with Jimmy Butler, I thought about that when I saw what he's doing in their record. Like,
yeah.
Wonder if you could go back, if that would work out. The other one, too, where I'm like, A lot of people thought he was a role player, but Malcolm Brogdon, he's not MVP quality, but that should've was a guy that could have really helped out this team.
Well, we do know for sure from last night that you don't want Blake Griffin. And how about that poor Porzingis dunk in Drummond's face?
That was awesome.
That was.
That was
super
sweet.
Awesome.
Now, Drummond's a free agent at the end of the year. I will still take him. I know that he's not like your perfect.
Oh, you didn't X him off just for getting dunked on once?
I'm just still saying, have him? He's not perfect because in today's NBA, the more you watch, the more you'd love to have just guys that are 6 foot six to 6 foot 10, awesome wing players that can do it all. But I will say, you get to free agency and Andre Drummond says, look, I want to play for the Mavericks as long as you offer me the big contract. I think you do it, and you say, yeah, it's 7 foot three and 6 foot 10, and that's not really where the NBA is going. But with Luka, I think it could work.
Absolutely. Do you think we're watching Porzingis on the verge of blowing up?
In a good way.
The body language, the aggression.
I do. I thought I saw a swagger in him yesterday, and the alley-oops that Luka had, there was chemistry there, and where there maybe hasn't been great chemistry. Not horrible chemistry. Obviously, like you just said, they're winning, but I think we could be seeing something from Porzingis now that he's gotten 2 months under his belt of playing basketball.
That'll be fun to monitor. We got a winner, Jeff?
We're giving things away here, 4131 North Central Expressway. We want you to join us all day. We're here until at least 7 o'clock with Balcones, so come up here. Food, drinks, everything. We're giving stuff away every hour. If Scott May is in the building, you want a Dak Prescott autographed football, and if Scott May is not in the building, well, we'll contact you and tell you how to pick up your Dak Prescott football.
And don't, I'll sign that for you, too, to up the value.
That's not – we will not
very
let him do
generous.
That, I promise.
Yeah. Well, Mike's in the giving spirit here for the holidays. Come on by, 4131 North Central Expressway, our Balcones open house. There's some food here and the Balcones to sample. Babe Laufenberg is going to join us next, give us his thoughts on what's important for Cowboys-Rams. All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We are in the performance lounge of our building here at 75 and Fitzhugh for the Balcones open house. You're invited. Come on by, fellowship, and try some Balcones spirits. We just had food delivered by the Shark Club.
Yeah.
So there's dinner here as well. If you're in the area, swing on by. Now, we're about to talk with Babe Laufenberg about Cowboys-Rams. Segment's brought to you by DFW Airport Parking, GetMortgageReady.com, and by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call Frankel & Frankel, 214-333-3333, or go online to FrankelFirm.com. And here he is, the Cowboys radio analyst, Babe Laufenberg, on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon / evening to you, sir. How you doing out there?
Doing very well. How are you guys?
We're doing great. I'm wondering, you being a Southern California guy, everybody in DFW knows it's Cowboys-Rams. How many people in the SoCal area know the Cowboys are playing the Rams this week? What's the percentage?
17%.
Okay.
Actually, no, wait a minute. 16%, because my brother is going to be out of town.
Okay.
All right.
He lives in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah,
they know the Lakers are playing tonight, though.
Exactly. Well, the Lakers, come playoff time, they get very popular. I always tell this story. I may have told it on this air, so stop me if I have. But
you have, but I love it, so tell it again.
Okay, I'll tell it again. Then my then sister-in-law, she's an attorney. We're having lunch. I'm at Cowboys camp. This is years ago. She says, you ever think of coming out, moving back here? And, you know, and I said, well, Jim Hill's there, and he's a CBS anchor, and he's been there forever. He's not going anywhere. And I said, plus, I really like doing the Cowboy games. And she said, well, couldn't you do the Ram games? Like, you just say, I'm going to do Rams.
Sure, transfer.
Yeah. And I said, well, you know, they're not here anymore. I said, they're in St. Louis. She said, when did that happen? And I said, like 13 years ago. So as I often say, not only do they don't care that they don't have a team or didn't have a team, they don't even know they didn't have a team.
Well,
could you imagine having lunch with anybody here in Dallas if the Cowboys moved and they said, oh, we don't have the Cowboys anymore?
No.
My wife.
It's possible. The Mrs. Bassick.
Yeah. Maybe Mike, if they lose like one or two more games.
Yeah, really.
Well, Babe, there is an impact here locally as we've been hearing advertisements for tickets being on sale. We were talking with some season ticket holders, and they say because the Rams don't have much of a fan base back there, they don't travel. And even though they're one of the better teams and they were just in the Super Bowl, they're some of the most difficult tickets to get rid of because the road fans just aren't there to scoop those up.
Exactly right. I mean, Green Bay comes here. Pittsburgh, even though they only come once every 8 years, and all these other teams, though, they come in and they bring their fans. And yeah, the Rams have a hard time. I don't want to say a hard time, but they, you know, they don't sell that place out. And there's no more, or was no more exciting team to watch, right, yeah, than last year. And they made the Super Bowl, and you couldn't get a better product. And they still have an issue getting people to the games. And obviously, you know what's happening with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yes, so, of course. Still have not effectively called them the L.A. Chargers on air, though, except for this moment right here. I keep saying San Diego.
Oh, well, when we played the Chargers, what, 2 years ago, Cowboys had them at AT&T, I put a big thing in front of my board saying Los Angeles, you know, Los Angeles. And, of course, I think I had a $5 bet with Brad. I said, okay, Brad, $5 to whoever, the other guy who says San Diego. And I think I lasted maybe the opening kickoff. That's maybe I got awesome. Through the national anthem before I said San Diego Chargers.
All right, babe, I got to tell you about my problem. Here's my problem.
Oh, let's hear it.
This
is
my problem.
I'm here.
I like picking the Cowboys to win because it's fun, and I want the Cowboys to win when they play football. But this week feels like a really bad matchup for the Cowboys if they can't get together pretty much everything that plagues them. To play the Rams when you're having trouble tackling at the linebacker level and getting run fits and your safeties are struggling to tackle, playing the Rams seems like a terrible recipe. That's my problem.
I can't disagree with anything you just said. Now, let me say this. In my position doing the games, I never sit there and pick a winner, right? I mean, I just don't think that's what you're supposed to be doing when you're calling the games. And say, well, this team's going to win, the other team's going to win, whatever. I just kind of try to lay out the facts, and I always say the more you know and the more I study as the week goes on, the less definitive I am in what I think is going to happen. Because all of a sudden you're looking, and you think you see this, and then you see this, and you just get inundated with stats and numbers and game tape, and by the end of it, you're like, I don't know who's going to win. My best thing is always on Sunday, we finish the game, wherever that is, right? And I just think about the next game, and I just top of my head, who's got the better team? And that's what I should go with. But then you start looking at everything. But you're exactly right. It's going to be it's not a good matchup, I don't think, for the Cowboys. And the other part is the Rams are just playing, you know, some lights-out football defensively. Mm-hmm. If you look at their last seven games, here's what they've allowed. 10, 10, 17, 7, 45 to Baltimore. But everybody allows 40 to Baltimore. 7, and then 6 last week to Seattle. Seattle scored on a defensive touchdown. So let me hit those again. 10, 10, woo, 17, 7, 7, and 6.
Pretty stout.
We can shut them down.
We need to be like Baltimore and hang 50 on them.
Oh, gosh, Baltimore. Are they incredible?
Yes.
I mean, you just sit there and you go, wow. I love Sean McVay. He literally refers to that game, okay, through all his press conferences because I watched them all. Okay, he refers to that game as the game that we don't talk about. Because he said, we've been playing good defense, we allowed this and this, and then the game we don't talk about, we didn't. But that's how he refers to it. He doesn't call them Baltimore or the 45-6 loss. It's just the game we don't talk about.
What would be more fun, to be able to throw it like the best quarterback throwing of all time or to be able to run it like the best running quarterback of all time as a player? What would you rather do, babe?
Oh, you know what's funny? I was a decent athlete, played basketball, baseball, football, obviously, all that. And
you could even play with a grade 3 concussion and send you back out there.
I have.
Yeah.
The one thing I wasn't was fast. And I always, that was the one thing I wanted to be, was fast. I didn't care if I was 6'5". I didn't care about anything, but I was like, man, wouldn't it be great to run 4'5", you know, 4'4", one of those guys. But
yeah.
So I guess the answer to your question, I would say running quarterback.
Hey,
I was always envious of those guys that were really fast.
Oh, man, you and me both.
Yeah.
How important is confidence? We've been talking a lot about that this week. Can't it can it turn on in a series? You know, how much of a factor is that as you're looking forward to trying to be good enough for the playoffs?
Well, I'm a fan of the expression that momentum is not a light switch. And so to sit here and play the way they have, you know, lose 7-10, all the – to suddenly say we're going to be that team, I think that's difficult. Now, that being said, I think all of us, right, all of us are waiting for this team to kind of put it together, right? I think they're going to struggle defensively a little bit because of the injuries, and as Jeff says, the matchup is not a great one for them. But offensively, you look at them individually, and you know that Dak can play championship caliber football or whatever you want to call it. You know Zeke is at the top of the food chain as a running back. You know Amari Cooper. The list goes on and on. The offensive line should be pretty darn good. And I feel like that group can get it together and put 30 points up. Now, again, it's going to be this Rams defense is they're rolling right now. So that's going to be difficult. But again, at some point, they're going to put this thing together and go out, play a complete game, and they're going to beat one of these teams that has a winning record. I don't know if that'll be Sunday, but at some point, they'll do it. And I do laugh. I was listening earlier. This game doesn't even matter.
Okay, yeah, that was my next question.
You go beat Philly, and you come home, and you beat Washington at home, and you're the NFC East champions, and you're hosting a playoff game.
Yeah, could you imagine this team losing to Washington week 17, like losing this one? Oh, we just got to beat Philly, beat them, and then lose to Washington to lose the division. Is that a realistic scenario in your mind?
Wow, you're really going dark on us, aren't you there, Gavin?
goes to the people who say this game doesn't matter, right? This game could very much matter if you lose to Washington.
I do think the game matters just in the sense that at some point you got to get it going. Again, go back to momentum is not a light switch. So to think you're going to just beat Washington and all of a sudden get some momentum into the playoffs probably isn't going to happen. I think they got to start playing good football just for themselves. And, you know, they got it used to coach here. One of our guys that I was very fond of, Bill Parcells, used to say confidence is born of demonstrated ability. And they just haven't demonstrated the ability to put it all together in since week three, really.
Have you ever seen a Cowboys team this late in the season in first place with so much frustration around it? Or maybe there have been other times.
Well, that's a good question. Quite honestly, as you well know, I think there's frustration in every city, with every team. You know, almost no matter what your record is, unless you're leading the division, you get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Now, Baltimore, there's probably not a lot of frustration up there today, is there? But all these other
maybe they got to look back and be like, "Gosh, we lost to the Cleveland Browns at one point. What were we doing?"
That's they are rolling. I mean, I think if you were to ask any football fan, I don't mean an ex, if you were to just say, "Who do you like as your Super Bowl favorite?" Usually it's like, "I like this team. I like that team. These guys are good. This guy could get hot," but it'd just be like Baltimore.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, fortunately, Baltimore isn't in the NFC, right? So you can still make the Super Bowl and not have to go through them. How about that?
That's a wonderful gift. just briefly,
I have a question for you guys.
All right.
Is every guy on the Rams as I'm going through my chart and I'm going through and looking up the stuff, and every guy has a new 5-year, $80 million contract on the Rams?
Quite a few of them do. Yeah,
it's amazing. It's like they have signed everybody in the world to these big money deals and. They must be paying a luxury tax, right?
No such thing, babe, although I do believe they're currently over the 2020 cap for next year already.
So they will have
decisions to make.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where would you say you're comfortable with, because we kick this around all the time, it's sports radio, right? Dak Prescott is a top blank quarterback in the league.
Boy, that's a good question. I'd honestly, I have to really sit down, and I've wanted to do this, and just in my own, not that my opinion matters more than anybody else's, but just list them all 1 through 32.
You're actually paid for it to be better, babe.
Well, I know, but I mean, top 15?
Okay.
Again, you'd have to, if he's a top 10, and we're just talking playing a game tomorrow, right?
Yep.
Not for down
the
road.
Yep.
So you got Aaron Rodgers, you got Brady probably. You can tick off 5, 6, 7, 8 guys pretty quickly, right?
Right.
So maybe top 10, but definitely top 15. Definitely up at the top 15. But he's going to get paid.
Yes, sir.
He's going to get paid like a number one.
Great stuff as always, babe.
Until they sign the next guy, as you well know.
Yes, sir. We will we'll catch you up with you next week. Have a good weekend.
Okay, appreciate it, guys. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, there he is, Babe Laufenberg with us Fridays at 5:20 here in the G-Bag Nation. Jeff, what do you want to talk about next?
Yeah, I apologize for this tease, but I'm just reading the headline of this article verbatim. These researchers think poop could unlock athletic supremacy.
Dallas Truck World just got in a G-Wagon, a Range Rover, and a Porsche 911. Check out that whole inventory at DallasTruckWorld.com.
Welcome back, G-Back Nation. It's time for Jeff Cavanaugh to entertain us.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. We are still Surprise, we did not move our show from where we were to a different location. So if you want to swing on by, still plenty of time, 4131 North Central Expressway. We're in the showroom here at the station. Just swing on by and come through. We just got wings from Shark Club, which are delicious. We got Balcones out here doing some tastings. So we are having a wonderful time at work today. Come on out and see us. I dare you. Somebody from the 940 said, you've been sampling the baby blue all day. At what point does it change from sampling to drinking? And I say I had two samples. If I'd had a third, I'd be drinking. But at two, I was sampling.
I feel like we need to do a better job of doing our show because we made somebody fall asleep listening to it.
That happens. It might not be his ninth time. This may not be his ninth listening occasion.
Okay.
So he could still be, yeah, it could take an extra show.
What's that
to
look like, about 45 samples?
Yeah.
hot sample. Before I do the poo story, because that seemed like a weird way to start a segment, I decided to back that up to the second part of the segment. How's this for a headline? You think you might want this, coach, if you just read this headline on The Ringer? Lincoln Riley is the coach of the future and the end point of a revolution.
Yes, please.
Before, and it's an incredible article. So if you go to The Ringer and look for the Lincoln Riley article, it's great. But it's all about, you know, they kind of do storytelling on The Ringer and then kind of get into their sports article. So it's about the background. And his first coach, of course, was Mike Leach. He went to play for Mike Leach. And it became very obvious that his injury that he had in high school meant that he couldn't throw a football well enough. And so all the other coaches were like, Mike, why is this kid getting reps? And he's like, well, I think he's smart. And they're like, right, but he can't throw. And so Leach went to Lincoln Riley and he was like, hey, you can't throw well enough. What do you think about coaching? Hmm. And Lincoln's like, when I graduate? And he's like, no, now.
Yeah.
What about right now?
You're done.
And so Lincoln Riley, while he was still a student, was like, all right, I guess I'm not playing. And instead he was coaching while going to school.
What, did he have a bad shoulder or something?
Yeah, I didn't click the link, but it said freak injury, freak high school injury. I could click the link right this second and tell you what it is, but I'm not
going to. I'll cover that. You're broadcasting.
So anyway, he works his way up from there, and some of the points that they're making about why Lincoln Riley could be sort of the end of the air raid revolution and like the actual finished product are really basic and interesting points, because it's like, all right, the guy who birthed the idea that then gave it to Mike Leach, like, he was a wanderer. Like, he wasn't going to stay anywhere for more than a couple of years. He liked to be all over the place. Mike Leach is
crazy.
Different. He's a little different. And they basically said what this sort of offense always needed and finally has is someone who to the world is normal. Like, Lincoln Riley is very forward thinking. He's going to have all the concepts in real time and be pushing whatever's next. But when you look at him, they even mentioned, like, Cliff Kingsbury isn't the right spokesman for the air raid because people just want to talk about how hot he is.
Yeah.
Like, they needed a normal guy that was also a coaching mastermind to bring this, like, the end of it, like, boom, here it is.
Not obsessed with pirates.
Yes. So they needed an air raid coach.
And a team that the head coach says, we can practice defense, too, today.
Yeah.
They make that point, too, that it was also they needed a coach that is at one of the biggest schools in the country. Like, not on the fringe. Mike Leach can do what he does at Tech and at Washington State. But if he were at a bigger school, would it draw more scrutiny because he's a weird guy? But you finally have your guy who is showing that he can adapt it to different quarterbacks, that he understands all of these different things. Not only is he part of the air raid, he also introduced how to really run the ball a lot out of the air raid. He's running the wishbone now. Like, he's incorporated everything, and he's not super attractive or a weirdo. So he's the finished product of what this needs.
And this thing has been around for a long time, and it seems like there's no great answer to it, right? Because you just take whatever new wrinkles are popping up and incorporate them in this thing and keep spreading them out. I don't know, because the reason I bring it up is because whether it's a flex defense or a West Coast offense, things like this come around, and then they get solved. But I feel like this one's been going on like 15, 20 years, right?
And that's why Riley's such an attractive head coaching candidate, not attractive like Kingsbury, attractive like you want to hire him. Because, you know, for 1 year with Baker Mayfield, it's sling it all over the yard, and they had a good runner, but it was totally different. And you go all the way up to Jalen Hurts now, and they're literally running wishbone offense stuff where they'll have multiple backs in the backfield. They'll lead block for the quarterback. And it's, what do I have?
He's so adaptable, right? You can't put it in a box.
Here's the concepts. Here's how we'll adapt it to this player. Here's how we'll adapt it next year when we have this player, and here's all that. So I want Lincoln Riley, Jerry. If you say you'll write any check, write whatever it takes to convince him he doesn't want to be at OU. Do you think Lincoln Riley would say no to $30 million a year? If he loves Norman and he's like, I don't even have interest in the NFL, you say, here's 30.
There's no way you can say no to that.
No, he won't say no to that. But will he
just
say,
throw out an absurd number?
Will he say no to $10 million from Jerry and $8.5 from OU? Now I have – I don't think Jerry's going to go past $10 million.
Right, but in theory, we'll write whatever check it takes. So if we think it's
not
the best
he's
candidate.
He's a good talker. He has a great personality, and he's an unbelievable salesman.
That would be a jerk move because it would require every other team to pay their coach like $20 to $25
million. And he's not
going to do that. That's a great
point. They would end up costing the NFL $300 million a year.
That actually makes sense. And I know as a consumer of the product, you're like, no, I want my guy to do this. But realistically, if you put yourself in their shoes, you'd be like, why would you do that? Why are you putting the market four or five times higher than it is? What a jerk you are. You just ruined our scam. Not that the NFL is a scam.
No.
Anyway, next topic.
They reset the market.
Right, and with like 500% raise. Yeah. Like, okay, Jerry, thanks a lot, pal. You're the best.
I mean, everybody does that because if it wasn't that way, 31 other coaches would have a bidding war for Belichick.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Okay.
I mean, these guys in
they are business partners.
Yeah, the early days of the NFL, they'd be like, oh, you need a quarterback? Well, we got extras. We're going to send you one.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Okay, the poo story of the day. How much would you want to be paid to have this job? This guy's name is Jonathan Scheiman, and the headline reads...
We're looking at seven figures, Jeff, before I got any details.
The headline reads, these researchers think poop could unlock athletic supremacy. Are we right? And the beginning... Or are they right? And the beginning of it is... Our guy Jonathan Scheiman, he swings open the door of a big old freezer at Harvard, and the gas comes out, and inside is dozens of boxes stored at minus 80 degrees Celsius. Each one's crusted with snowy ice, and they all hold – he's holding an ice-caked box in one gloved hand, and with the other one he pulls out a little plastic vial at the bottom, a tiny hint of brown. So what he's doing is he says, quote, this is fun stuff. This freezer is literally boxes full of S. So,
what's the win here?
Okay, so what they're doing is he's taking the fecal sample from athletes, and they're trying to figure out he's doing marathon runners right now. So he would get athletes to take a tube with a little plastic tip and dip that into a piece of their teepee after they'd use the teepee, right? And what they're trying to figure out is, can we find in their DNA? Like, you're a marathoner because.
Yes.
Like, the DNA advantage that is causing you to be good at marathoning and them to be good at cycling, and then they did rugby players. And he said it was tough at first to get people to give him a sample because it's a weird approach, and you have to figure out how to be like, hey, I'm a scientist.
Why can't you just get regular DNA?
I don't know.
Why would you do this with blood?
That's not because this is for microbiomes that come from the intestines or something.
There must be some advantage to it. You're kind of seeing what the digestive system takes out and uses in the body and expels, right?
I guess. So, yeah, all the samples, he says, contain millions of bacteria. You put them in the freezer, and then he studies them later. And they're trying to find, it's the link between athletic performance and the gut microbiome, the ecosystem of hundreds of types of bacteria that live in the intestines and play a key role in almost all our body's essential processes. And they've gone through now marathoners and cyclists and rugby players, and they have found things that tend to be in common for these people. They can't prove yet that it's like a causation, but they have found correlations to like, okay, a lot of the elite cyclists have a lot of X in their body, and so they are starting to figure out.
Oh, ecstasy.
No, not
MDMA.
No. X,
well, would you do that with
unknown
people that are considered really smart? Would you like go to Bill Gates and people like that and go like, what's in your stuff to make you really smart?
Yeah, but we don't care about smart. We want to be athletic.
Okay, if you could be like that level of smart or super athletic, which one are you taking?
Super athletic means I get a pro sports career?
Good question.
I'll take super athletic.
You're going to still have to be a hard worker and coordinated.
And if
I can't control those variables.
And if I'm smart, I still have to work hard, right?
There's no guarantee, but you can use the smarts for like 60 years of your life, where sports, there's a small window.
I would take the athleticism.
Smart.
Yeah, I don't know.
I realize that because I've been robbed of mine by being an idiot, and I miss it really a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you really screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, you could have done something with your athletics. So getting even better athletics would just probably make you even more of a smart-ass rebel.
Yeah.
At 16 years old. Screw you, coach.
That's great. Yeah, I should
I don't
have been,
need
I'd
you.
Rather be smart. Yeah. And finally, there's I assure you there's no political opinion coming here, but during the impeachment hearings that were live on TV – we had a congressman who got caught. They had the camera, and they're like showing, you know how they show a wide shot of a bunch of congressmen, senators, whatever, sitting there, and all right, we're talking about things. This guy's on like the House Judiciary Committee, and while they're talking about possible impeachment, they zoomed in on his laptop, and he was watching the President's Cup.
Oh, okay, good, so yes. Hey, a lot of drama there.
We're kind of on the comeback trail, I think. I think it started off bad, but the Americans are kind of on the comeback trail, and so it's really important. So shout out to Representative Richmond, who was definitely taking in the President's Cup while other people were talking about impeachment.
Sports is very important for government.
It has been throughout history.
You have to prove your competency and your dominance.
Got
to
be on your P's and Q's.
Your superior genetics. You know, you could look at the fecal matter, or you could look at our Olympic record. That's how good our country is.
Agreed.
Okay, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, we have 1 hour to go here at our Balconis open house here. It's in our radio station building. We're down here on the main floor. They'll show you how to get in here. It's 4131 North Central Expressway right by the McDonald's. And we have one more prize to give away, and then another hour of content coming up next right here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.